Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and please forgive me because tonight I also have laryngitis. I will start out well. I don't know how my voice is going to hold up, but if I start running up and down the scale and sound like a teenage boy, please forgive me. And I've already warned my wonderful guest for tonight, Christina Blasoni. Hi, Christina. How are you?
Good. How are you, Phyllis?
Doing just fine, thank you. Christina is a psychotherapist in New Jersey. She also has a lot of wonderful other talents. And we are going to talk tonight about the ascension process. And that's something I think we're all interested in giving. Given the information and the fact that we're coming closer to 2012 and all of the signs are pointing that way, that we are indeed in the midst of an ascension process. So you want to tell a little bit more about your background, Christina? Please do so.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Basically, I work in a psychiatric hospital, and I also have my own private practice.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what I do is integrate the traditional psychotherapy with a more holistic view. So
mm-hmm.
basically, it's more Reiki, contacting ancestors, hypnotherapy, and basically preparing right now
mm-hmm.
As we're going through this very important process, which actually we're undergoing something that has never been recorded in history.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically very important participants.
In a new experiment in the world, right?
Yes.
How lovely. Okay. I just love it. How did you get into all of this? Being a psychotherapist, one thinks of someone who's pretty much Freudian and pretty much stays within the traditional medical guidelines. I think it's fascinating that you've been able to break free, as it were, and move into alternative therapies, because I think that's a perfect wedding between the different therapies.
Oh, absolutely it is. Actually, I was doing the traditional psychotherapy for a long, long time, and basically, whenever I was in front of the person, I was like, all right, now what am I going to do for dinner tonight? You know, what do I have to pick up anything, from the supermarket before I go home? I was bored. The person in front of me was bored. And we finally found that nobody was getting anywhere. So, as they always say, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, and my teacher
right.
appeared.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, you know, this is starting to work. And all of a sudden, all of these key people started coming into my life.
Mm.
And, I got introduced to the Reiki, and then I got introduced to psychotherapy. I also did the training EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing for post-traumatic stress disorder. And I took it with the person that actually invented this, with Dr. Shapiro.
Uh-huh.
Which she's absolutely amazing. So integrating all of this, and actually now recently I also became an adept in the mystery school.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So that's
And what does that mean? Please explain that to me.
Basically, coming into the mystery school is a compilation of many theories. And
mm-hmm.
in coming in contact and the initiation as well, basically we come in the light.
Mm-hmm.
So we're become much more, much more, I would say powerful, but that's not the word that I'm looking for. We're basically trapped in the light. So with all of this light coming in right now, and especially in the times that we are right now,
mm-hmm.
Becoming an adept prepares us much more. And going out there and giving out the good word, and that's where I'm here now,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving out the word on how to prepare.
Okay.
Because in reality, it's interesting because I dragged my daughter to come to this particular workshop, and we were talking about this particular thing, and we were looking at the 100th monkey theory. And so if 1% of the population empowers, everybody else follows.
Okay. Now, some people might not know what the 100th monkey theory is, but go ahead and explain it. I understand, but go ahead.
Well, basically, if my memory serves me
right.
there was a group of researchers, and they
mm-hmm.
were in Japan. And they were basically researching the behavior of monkeys. And this one particular, now, Japan has a whole bunch of islands, so there was monkeys in this particular island, which I don't remember the name of it right now, particular island, and there was monkeys on across the ocean on the other side.
Right.
So they saw that the monkeys had a very intricate behavior. So one did it, and then all the monkeys, you know, through observation, they started doing exactly the same behavior.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they found out that as they went to the other island,
mm-hmm.
right across where these monkeys were,
right,
there was some monkeys started doing that particular behavior as well.
Right.
In which, how on earth can they learn when they're across the water?
Right.
So
because
that's
they thought it was behavioral.
Right.
Taught by the other. Yes. Right.
But how can they be taught if they're across the water?
Right.
And there is no interaction between one group of the monkeys and the other group of the monkeys.
Well, no perceived.
Right.
Although there is what we call, and we know what is, mental telepathy, or morphic resonance.
That's it. That's what it is.
Okay.
So now, if I, you know, let's say I'll use myself as an example. If I'm going to be adopting a behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would say, well, maybe it's rubbing off on the other person.
Right.
And then it'll rub off on another person. But
yeah.
is it only just on the behavior observation that we're doing it?
Right.
Or is it more on an energetic level that we're doing
right.
it?
Right.
So it encompasses all of it.
Okay. That sounds fabulous. All right, now we can move a little forward. I just like everybody to be sort of on the same page.
Right.
So we are preparing for this.
Yeah.
How should we prepare for the ascension? What is the ascension? Most people think that we're going to lift our eyes, lift our arms, and be, you know, like, Scotty, beam me up. This is not the way it happens, I don't think. But I could be wrong.
Well, we really don't know. It's interesting because last year I did a workshop on it, and we were looking at all the prophecies and predictions. And there's a lot of prophecies and predictions out there.
Yes.
Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the Hopi Indians, and especially we're basing ourselves on what Jose Argueles, also a Mexican, he basically studied the Mexican calendar, the old Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar.
Right.
So basically, a lot comes from the Mayan calendar.
Okay.
Stating that we're ending the fifth world, we're entering the sixth world,
mm-hmm.
and within the sixth world, it's not written yet. We're going to write that sixth world.
Right. Okay.
So basically, on December the 21st, 11:20 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
We're going to be right there in the cusp of the galactic center, which only happens every, you know,
26,000 years, something like that.
26,000 years. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And we don't have that much time right now.
Right.
Because as we go into the fifth dimension, we have to go and look and elaborate on what on earth is the fifth dimension. Right now, we're living in a 3D dimension.
Right, right. That's true.
So coming into the Christ consciousness,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is. Coming into unity.
Okay.
People say that basically we're going to go off and, you know, become much more clairvoyant.
Okay.
Become much more spiritual, become more attuned. There's going to be a unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but are we ready in order to have that unity?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when we look at society all around us,
we're ready for a whole heck of a lot, is there?
That's the whole thing.
Okay.
That's the whole thing. And that's what we got to prepare for right now.
Okay, so how do we prepare for something like this?
Well, it's interesting because maybe a lot of folks don't even, you know that there is some physical and also emotional, spiritual symptomology that we're all undergoing.
Okay.
And I have a nifty list over here in front of me.
Oh, good.
In which basically, I'm sure there's quite a few folks. I mean, I can relate to a lot of them.
Okay.
On, you know, certain signs and symptoms of awakening. And leading on to, you know, the ascension process per se.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read a few of them.
Okay.
I got my Sabby over here tweeting me.
Your team of Sabby is over there, huh?
Yeah, she's, I have a quite array of entities down here where I'm at right now.
I see.
She just barks to all of them and greets them all. Here's some of them. The sleep, disturbed sleeping patterns, tingling in the body.
Tingling in the body?
Tingling in the body, yep.
Uh-huh.
Feelings of disconnection. Pressure on the crown chakra.
Okay.
Vibration of the body while we're sleeping. And that's very interesting because it's not only vibration, sometimes even when we're sitting, that there is a certain, like, we're floating and we're vibrating. And the body's not even moving. The chair is not even moving.
Huh.
But that's part of it.
Okay.
Distorted vision. Depression.
In such distorted vision in...
Distorted vision meaning that, you know, like blurriness. Type of thing.
Okay.
All of a sudden you're looking at something and it just kinds of like, you know, it has an optical illusion type of thing, which is not really an optical illusion. Basically, you know, mm-hmm. it's the whole body basically transforming right now. Depression.
I see.
That's a very interesting one, depression. Depression and anxiety. That's really mm-hmm. big. Working in a psych hospital, I'm seeing that the units are full, unfortunately. And a lot of newcomers. People that, you know, we don't see on a regular basis. We have our regular visitors, and we have folks that we have never seen. And it is that a lot of people that are going through a depression, in which I'm going to be listing more of the stuff, you know, they're letting go of the old, bringing in the new. There is no new that we really know about.
Okay.
We don't really have a very good basis on what it is the new. Because there is... The way the society is right now, you know, what type of future are we really having? I mean, we're listening to the news, and it is, it's horrendous. It is horrendous the way everything, you know, between, you know, the wars and between, you know, economic distress.
Yes.
There is more fear into the future.
Yes.
Something, you know, that it's not so... you know, so depressing, so sad. So, and a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of repressions are coming up. A lot of old patterns that need to be let go are coming up. So it leads into a physiological depression. So we go to the doctor or we talk to a family member or whatever.
Right.
Well, you need a happy pill. And the first thing the doctor is going to go and give you a happy pill.
Absolutely.
So here we are, Prozac and Zoloft Nation.
Yeah.
Realizing that in reality, we need to go on and deal with this depression versus numb the depression.
Right.
Feeling disillusioned, once again, based on what we're going through, you know, in our society and based on what we're going through on the inside, too.
Well, that's kind of normal in everyday world, I would think, feeling disillusioned. I've met people who felt that way for years, disappointment with others, that type of thing.
Comes up more and more. So just imagine if there is, you know, some, you know, primitive type of repression there that needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with more repression surface, then, of course, that's going to accent.
Okay, accentuate it. Okay.
Crying for no reason, part of depression, too.
Yeah.
Feeling that you have lost track of time. That definitely letting go of the old.
Yeah,
we have that need to do that. Wanting to reconnect but not knowing what to do. Feeling distant and apart from everything that you do around you. Sweating at night. And for the ladies, it's not menopause.
it
really isn't. Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, well, maybe, Chris, you go into that, you know, time period. I was like, no, I went through that time period. What on earth? Why am I sweating all of a sudden? Hot flash. My goodness, don't want to recreate that anymore. That was done. Hot feet?
Hot feet?
Yes. Seeing sparkles.
I've seen sparkles.
Yes. Correct. Absolutely.
And what is that indicative of, seeing sparkles?
It's interesting because some folks talk about that seeing those sparkles are, you know, it could be your spirit guides. It could be, you know, some other discarnate beings. Some other people talk about it could be, you know, alien life forms.
Really?
It's really interesting. Yeah, sometimes my husband just catches me, like, talking to myself. All right, identify yourself. You know, who are you? What are you? Man,
he
like, kind of shakes his head.
Married me.
Yeah, he's like, he just shakes his head. Yeah, let me just move on here.
And when are they going to identify themselves and say, my name is?
My name is so-and-so. Yes, then I'm really going to. But here we go. Having visions, seeing angels and spirit guides.
Okay.
Heart palpitations, muscle spasms, nausea, change in eating, feeling that you want to leave the planet.
Okay.
That's a very interesting one.
Well, yeah, some people say, stop the world, I want to get off.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is it because of the current situation that we're going through, or is it, you know, once again, that we're coming in contact that where we really come from? You know, are we starting?
Good question.
Same.
Because some people, you know, would equate that with wanting to commit suicide.
Correct. Absolutely. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Suicide, okay. It has gone up, too.
Suicide has a what, honey?
Suicide has gone up.
Really?
Unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And people are doing this because they can't cope with, we've had waves. Now, let's say common sense, you know, you look at it, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, you have more people with financial issues,
yeah.
The immigration issues, you know, financial issues, drugs and all this. And a lot of people, you know, would like to just stop the world and get off, so to speak. So how do we know that this is not just something that is a part of what we have been used to?
Well, that's the whole thing. Now it's we need to move on from that. And it's interesting because I tell patients and my clients as well, that let's say, for example, the ego. So visualize the ego as an armor.
Uh-huh.
And in that armor, we have repression, fears, guilt, shame,
right.
Anger, frustration,
mm-hmm.
pain, old programs, primitive programs that was given to us by mom, dad, grandma,
yeah.
grandpa, society.
Right.
We have all of that, and that cocoons our inner light. The inner light is still in us.
Mm-hmm.
Always will be and always has been.
Been, yeah.
But
okay.
We need track of that inner light.
Well, you know, my feeling is, well, I had a channeling session yesterday, and what came through very loud and clear was, in the dimension that we are moving to, and it was just a spontaneous thing because I didn't know what I was going to talk about yesterday, what it said was guilt no longer is. There's no more sin. There's no more guilt.
Right.
There's no more denying yourself. There's no more illness in this new dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no more negativities. It is all moving into what we would call paradise.
Right.
Okay? And that is what came through in that channeling, and that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, let's say, for example, the prophecies of the Hopi Indian, the same as the Mayan calendar, and all other prophecies, we will shape how we're going to get there.
Right.
We will shape whether it is going to be Armageddon, whether it's going to be Third World War, it's going to be more cataclysm, you know, environmental cataclysms, or we're going to go and transition smoothly. So what is it that we need to do in order for that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
What we need to do is come in contact with our own selves, become a clear flow.
Yes.
And
yes,
a lot of times
true.
It's hard. It's like, well, how can I become a clear flow when I got to pay the rent, the mortgage?
Exactly.
When I got laid off, or my husband, my wife, or
whatever.
Whoever got
mm-hmm.
laid off.
So absolutely.
It's hard, but once again, coming in contact, centering ourselves.
Exactly.
Clearing those old mindsets, taking away fear, false evidence appearing
real. Yeah. And
yeah.
I think it is learning to trust. That's
yeah.
the biggest issue, and to learn to turn over. I think another Christian way of saying it is like, oh, like God. But trusting that what you now create with your mind, you can bring into being.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Most of us are too darned afraid. It's very hard. Since we've had centuries upon centuries of being or wanting to be in control, because this is how we lived, this is how we have set up our lifestyles. And so to truly release and to truly trust that the higher self will bring us to where we need to be is exceedingly difficult. I am one of the first to stand in line and tell you this. Sure. I don't have control issues, not much.
Sure, but we all have it. Why? Because we have been indoctrinated to that. We have been basically, you know.
It's our modus operandi.
Well, look at the thing again. You know, you have the crystals coming in, you have the rainbows coming in, you have the indigos coming in. What do they do with these incredible beings?
Yes.
They medicate them.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I find so surprising.
So here we are, you know, how am I, here they come, they're incarnating on purpose in order to help us. We need volitionally to get away from this particular mindset.
Yes.
Now, if I get out of this mindset, well, people at work already think I'm odd, but, you know, getting away from this, we need to take that challenge. We need to take that risk. It's a risk.
Yes.
So now I got to go and look at, do I need to be accepted so much? If I need to be accepted so much by the mainstream, and I need to be accepted so much by the general population, what part of am I not comfortable with myself? What part of me I need to let go of? And that's the fear.
Right, exactly. Well, and also, again, we're talking about control, because they feel that these children cannot be controlled, so to speak, the way they used to be. They're more savvy at a younger age.
Sure.
They're more aware. They're more experimental. They get bored more easily. There's a lot of, you know, children just don't suddenly, all of a sudden, become different than the beings that came before. They really don't. It's not as though we've suddenly had a brand new epiphany, or, you know, another race has decided to come in, although some people call it a new race. I don't know. I just think it's souls that have been on this earth plane before and have moved into a higher level, and they're here with us to partake of a brand new world, and it's what we can do. It's what's been promised.
And they're the gateway, and we're numbing them.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate part. So here, again,
you
know, as a conscientious society, we got to go and look at, you know, what part of am I numbing in myself, too?
Right.
If I'm, you know, going to generalize that.
And most people don't want to really look at themselves, you know that, because they're afraid of what they'll find.
But then again, let's go beyond the armor.
Right.
Break over. The only thing that we're going to find inside of us is that divine light.
Exactly. I agree.
That's what it is.
Yes.
And is there anything to fear with the divine light when it's all unconditional love, wisdom, the connection of God, Goddess is inside of us?
Mm-hmm. I agree. But then people keep saying, you know, my aunt used to look under her bed for burglars.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell her, you know, Aunt Mary, if you keep looking under your bed for burglars, one day you're going to surprise one, you know? Because you don't want to be disappointed, you know?
Right. Well, now that you're saying this, Phyllis, that's very interesting, because especially with all the light that's coming through right now, synchronicities are up.
Yes.
So right now we're living in a highly synchronistic world. And my guru, Carl, you know, you like Freud, my guru is Carl Jung. And he talked about synchronicity as meaningful coincidences.
Right.
But also we got to go and look at the manifestation, the physical manifestation of our own thought processes, which is also energy.
Right.
So now, not only am I going to have, I'm living synchronistically, but also manifesting my thoughts. So, as your aunt, you know, I know we can't materialize a human, but we'll be attracting that human, that burglar, to come into the house.
Right. Well, she's passed along now, but still, you know, she also was, she was a very good woman in many ways, but she had a lot of fears, had a lot of fears.
Well, we all do. Mm. Everybody has fears. That's the way it is.
And one of the things, though, is to learn how to trust in the goodness of life still. And that's what a lot of people are afraid to do. They're afraid to trust in goodness. And they're afraid to trust in other human beings. And even more so, they're afraid to trust themselves and their own experiences. That's what I find fascinating, is people being afraid to trust their own instincts.
Sure.
and they keep seeking somebody else's confirmation. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit there are times when I've done that too, not trusting my own guidance. But, you know, you have to if you want to grow up, if you want to get out there and play with the big kids. Part of that is learning to trust yourself. You are your own best guide, your own best psychic, your own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these things that we've discussed are going on as far as some of the things to look for. It sure sounds like the change of life to me.
And
some of the other things, and then you're going to tell us, well, how we can assist ourselves in moving through this period.
Basically, would you like me to go the rest of the list? Because
Fascinating.
Here's something else. Having intense feelings of emotion like anger, love, and pain. That's very interesting.
Intense emotions, okay.
Yes, and why? Well, let's look at emotions now. Energy and motion. That's what it is.
Yes.
So, where does the emotion really start? It starts from a thought. And what is a thought?
Right.
And it's interesting. I went over to a middle school, and I did a little presentation for the kids, a little presentation, 2 hours and a half, of talking to the kids about how to release stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, I said, well, guys, what is a thought? Oh, it's a feeling, it's an idea, it's a thought, okay?
Yeah.
So we went. So I said, well, how about this? A biochemical reaction to an internal and external cue.
Huh. Okay.
Nobody knows where the thought starts. Some people say it's in the head, in the brain, but it's not. It can start from your toes.
That's right.
It can start from anywhere in your body because your whole body carries emotion. Your whole body carries thoughts.
Exactly.
It's a thinking entity. It's a thinking system.
Yes.
Heightened senses like smell, hearing, and skin.
Okay.
Past life recalls and memories. That's very interesting about that.
It's past life?
Past life recalls.
Really?
That we're recalling more and more. It's very interesting about that. I mean, I witnessed it myself about, you know, people, places, and things in my environment, and all of a sudden it just brought me back. It just brought me, when I went through the initiation in the mystery school, it just brought me back to my past life.
Huh.
And I saw myself right there, in Egypt, and I was initiated all over again. And it was just the right time to get myself initiated right now in order to bring up that particular time period.
Wow.
So can also access many of our gifts, the gifts that we need right now.
Exactly. Okay.
And we can access them right now if we want to and if we're willing to do so.
Right, okay.
Feeling of being abandoned, especially by God.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a very good one. When in reality we're coming more in contact and we're getting nearer to God, all right, if we're going to go back to the scriptures, Jesus felt exactly the same way.
Right, that's true.
Why, especially, you know, through his crucifixion,
there
was fear. And there was, where are you? What are you doing to me?
Right.
And a lot of, you know, we're questioning that, too.
That's
and we're
true.
Questioning also, you know, people are getting away more and more from the rigid, dogmatic, religious, you know, affiliations.
Right.
And seeking much more.
Yes.
So that's another way of, like, oh, should I go back to church or to the temple or whatever? Or how can I come in contact with God again? Old acquaintances coming into, so old friends coming back into our lives, especially for us to release and to forgive.
Isn't that interesting? Yes, because that's been happening a lot lately with me.
Okay. Family and friends leaving, changing partners, changing jobs.
Okay.
Trying to look for something but not knowing what to look for.
Okay.
Wanting to move on and being alone.
Okay.
All right. And the most important, Kundalini rising.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting, too. because a lot of this light basically is affecting the pineal gland.
Okay.
Pineal gland is right on top of the hypothalamus.
Right.
Nobody knows what on earth it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, mystics basically say that that's part of the third eye.
Yes, it is.
But medically, it has absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
That they know of, as far
that
as they know at this point. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
So now, with all this light, the pineal gland is being activated, and that's
right.
Why the DNA is also being reshaped.
Right. And increased.
And increased.
Yes. From 2 strands to 12, I'm told.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
And from those 2 strands, we only use 1/4 of it.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Just imagine if we use a tad more.
Yeah. Anomaly. That's
now,
wild.
Once that we go and prepare ourselves and more so, there's something else that transpires, and that is that we will be seen as we really are. No more persona, no more facade.
Okay. In other words?
In other words,
we cannot fool ourselves or fool others.
That's it.
We're mental, what I call mental open mind, mental telepathy,
yeah.
Where it's not possible to lie.
That's it. So are we ready for that?
Well, I'm pretty much am, but okay.
That's it. Right. And that's where the preparation really is.
Okay.
Accepting ourselves for who and what we are.
Okay.
And, you know, regardless of what goes on in our environment, have faith and
yes.
Have belief.
Yes. Fabulous.
So
okay.
Basically what it is now it's... there's quite a few things that we can do in order for that to happen, but it only happens it's one behavior at a time.
Okay.
So one day I said, well, I have nothing better to do. But I sat down with myself and I said, all right, oh, good and dandy. You know, what do I do in order to release, you know, myself from any type of negativity that I may have, or any repression, or anything that I want to let go of.
Right.
But the first thing that I need to do is acknowledge. There's 8 steps to liberation.
Okay.
First, I need to acknowledge. I need to name whatever it is that I want to claim. So
okay.
Do I want to, I don't know, let go of a painful memory? Do I want to let go of my guilt? Do I want to let go of shame? And I know very well that guilt and shame is socially based.
Right.
It's given to me. All right, to us in order to control us. So
okay.
Society controls us by shame and guilt.
Yes, that's true.
So do I want to let go of it? So first of all, I need to acknowledge whatever it is that I want to let go. Then I need to accept it. What is it that I want to accept? I have to accept the condition, the behavior, the emotion that I want to let go of. Otherwise, if I don't accept it, all the defense mechanisms will just click in. Oh, it's okay, you know. You know, it's not that bad. You know, don't think it's that as bad as you think it is. You know, or no, definitely I don't feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. I deny it. I repress it. I minimize it. I act it out. I'll go up to my dog and, you know, kick my dog. All right, just basically displace whatever it is that I have inside of me.
Okay.
Then I need to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Do I choose to stay the way that I am? Or do I choose to liberate myself? That's one of the most important parts. Because one gift that, you know, God has given us is free choice, free will.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to choose what is it that I really want to do. And I need to humble myself. It's okay to have, let's say, an addiction. It's all right. There's nothing bad with it. I know that I'm acknowledging it right now. And I know that I'm acknowledging that this addiction, basically, whatever the addiction is, doesn't really matter. Well, God knows the governor of New York has to go and deal with this right now.
Yeah.
He has a nice little addiction going on over there.
I don't know that it's an addiction so much as an ego stroke, but go ahead.
Well, and isn't it all intertwined together?
Yeah, maybe.
So I got to go and humble myself enough.
Yeah.
In order to go and say, you know what, yeah, it's true. I want to let go of this. I'm ready for this now. I need to forgive.
Right.
So the first person I forgive...
Is yourself.
Is myself.
That's a hard one. When we talk about forgiving, Most people do not realize that it is themselves which must be forgiven first.
That's it.
And that is very, very important.
Yes.
Okay,
it
next.
As I forgive myself, I then forgive the person, the original trauma.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't remember who it is
mm-hmm.
or who gave it to me, I
right.
start like going, you know, people that I do remember. All
right.
You know, so we don't have visual memories. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Research says that we don't have visual memories from before five. I remember stuff from
I
when
do.
I was 2 years old, a
I
year and
too.
A half.
I remember things too, for God's sakes. Who said we don't? Of course we do.
But then they say it's confabulation, and yeah, they go
who
on
says?
And on and on.
That's somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, but that's
yeah. It's like, but basically they say that. So whatever it is, if I have the visual memory, I can forgive the person that you
yes.
know trespassed against me. If I don't have the visual memory,
mm-hmm.
then I can say, well, I believe that so and so did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you let go of that person.
Right.
I grieve. I need to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. And it's interesting because a person today in group talked about that she was abused. And she kept on coming up that she was abused, And
mm-hmm.
she held on to it throughout the whole session
mm-hmm.
that she was abused and she just couldn't go on with her life. It was making a big impact with her spouse, with her children, and with everybody around
mm-hmm.
her. So, you know, now... why is it that she was holding on to? And I asked her, I said, this is serving a purpose for you right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
If you're holding on to this and you say that you can't let go, you got to ask yourself very,
why?
Very honestly, why are you holding on to it?
Absolutely.
Why are you not letting it go? So a lot of times we got to go and look at within ourselves that whatever it is that we're holding on to serves a purpose.
Absolutely. And usually it's an ancillary purpose.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that it has nothing to do
yes.
with the situation at hand.
Right, exactly.
So we need to go and grieve letting go of it, grieve, you know, the situation as I'm forgiving myself and the perpetrator
mm-hmm.
or the person that gave me whatever it is that I want to
yep.
let go of. Then I deal with it. I can deal with it in quite a few ways.
Right.
You know, I can go to therapy. I can go to support groups. You know, hypnotherapy.
Right.
I can go into whatever way, yoga, whatever
yeah.
way I want to deal with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Then I go back to forgiveness, though. I have to
yep.
forgive again.
Yep.
I 100% have to forgive. And once again, I forgive myself again.
Right.
For feeling whatever I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
for experiencing whatever I'm experiencing, for acknowledging whatever I'm acknowledging, and I forgive again the person that gave me whatever they gave me. Because, you know, usually we don't have things just out of a vacuum. Somebody, somewhere along
mm-hmm.
the line has given us something.
Mm-hmm.
Once that I go through all the stages, I just liberated myself from any behavior,
mm-hmm.
a memory, an emotion,
mm-hmm.
a thought. Just one.
just
one.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do this process on a continuous basis.
Yeah, it isn't done just at one sitting. It just isn't done at one sitting.
No.
Can't be done at one sitting. And a lot of people don't understand it. As I've said to a few people when they say, well, that's what I did with this. And I said, well, let's put it this way. It took centuries for you to get this way.
Right.
And it's like a darn onion. You know, every time you go through one peel, you find that there's another layer. That you have, and some have thick layers and some have thin layers. So, you know, that's just part of what you go through.
Yes. Yes. But we all go through this.
Right.
You see, a lot of times, you know, because of the social norms of
right.
guilt and shame and control, you know, we don't allow ourselves to liberate ourselves. Look, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm feeling.
Right.
And we keep it self-contained inside of us.
Right.
As with all this light that's coming through and with everything that we're going to be going through, you know, from now until, you know, whatever partakes within 2012 partakes,
right.
you know, we need to liberate ourselves. If nothing, let's say nothing happens on 2012, let's say absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
We have to do this for our parting time,
mm-hmm.
the day that we shed this body, give it back to Mother Earth, and we move on.
Right.
So we're not going to do it for 2012. We're going to do it for ourselves.
That's the best reason to do it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's for ourselves.
Yes.
So that makes sense, too. So far, we're all on the same page.
Yes. Good.
This is very, very interesting. I'm glad we've had an opportunity to talk about this. I'm going to sit here. If y'all can call in, if anybody wants to call in at this point and ask some particular questions, please feel free to do so. You should have that number there to call in and ask any questions that you might like to have the answer to and talk to Christina. I hear a beep. Is there someone there? Or is it my phone going down? Nope, I guess not. Well, keep going then, hon. I just want to give people the opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm just looking. I'm going to do a workshop now. Actually, I had a...
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go.
Yeah, I had to change phones. My battery was going low.
Oh.
That was my beep. I had to check it out.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, you sound sharper, too. And it's interesting because there's a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, you go down to the internet sites and you got this gloom and doom and we're going to be exploding and Third World War.
What?
And then, you know, all of these horrible cataclysms.
What?
You know.
Is that true? I mean, I don't go out on these sites and look, mainly because I guess that I feel that I'm going to hear something that's very depressing and thank you. I don't need to be depressed.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. No, we don't. We have enough of issues already with everything that's coming through that we have these doom and gloomers in which they portray like the end is going to come in with a big, huge, you know, like fireworks. You know, just as
everything's going to go boom.
Yes, but it's very, very interesting because. The Hopi Indians basically talk about, you know, if we continue the way that we are right now and you know, separate our heads from our bodies and separate our emotions from our thoughts, definitely we're not heading to a right way. Book of Revelations also talk about it, which is pretty, you know, cryptic. We really don't understand much about, you know, all those signs that basically is in the Bible, the same as Nostradamus. You know, people claim that they do understand everything that he put down, you know, centuries ago. But it's very hard to really understand and go underneath all the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is this. If quite a few of us really believe or think that we are going to go, you know, with a big boom, you know, we don't want that collective unconscious to spread. We want another collective unconscious to spread. And it is for being a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we can go and create that collective unconscious through a smooth transition is coming in contact with ourselves and being a clear flow. That's what we want, a clear flow.
Well, that makes better sense.
So that way, you know, that 100th monkey's theory will go more into unity, peace, versus doom and gloom, and basically, like, you know, Armageddon, the last battle.
Huh. Now, I'm not so much into Armageddon because I don't think it will really turn out to be that at this time. I have a feeling that... I trust God a little bit more than that, if that makes sense.
You did hear about that new place that Pat Robinson is doing in Jerusalem. It's called the Galilee World Heritage Park.
Not really, no.
It's very interesting because, oh my goodness, it's a pretty big affair over here. Basically, him and a group of other evangelists are going to basically put where Jesus was and where he walked and where, you know, he was baptized, and they're going to do a park.
A park.
A park, yes. So,
what kind of a park?
Well, basically for the faithful, in order to go there and walk where Jesus walked.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be completed by 2012, too.
Well, isn't that going to take up most of the city of Jerusalem, since he paddled about quite a bit?
Well, they were having problems with that. But it's going to be very, very interesting, because it costs a lot of money in order to do it. And I can't remember how much it was.
But why?
I think it's like about 48 million, more or less.
He didn't come up on this earth to teach us where to walk. He taught us how to live.
That's it.
And that's what's important. Okay? Walking in his footsteps. First of all, how many people have, you know, paddled around after him? But the thing is, if we follow the way he lived, then we'll be walking in the way he walked, in the footsteps he walked in. Because that's truly what's important.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Learn how to live in a Christ consciousness, and that's the best way of following in his footsteps. And that's where you find life.
That's
where you find the ascension process.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry. I just don't see it. You know, I just don't see it. I think the good Lord would say, you know, one of these. Oh my God! Now what?
Yeah. But it's very interesting too, because you know you tie Armageddon, you tie with this, you know, the Galilee World Heritage Park. You tie them both together is around that area. And, you know, you was like, all right, now, what is this going to lead to? Once again, you know, Christ consciousness is unity, is unconditional love.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
And that's what we should be seeking.
Mm-hmm.
The unconditional love of people for each other. And that's his living legacy.
But it starts with us.
It starts with us in our own home, in our own quiet little closet, in our own little prayer.
Right.
You know, our own personal theme park, so to speak.
Exactly. Yes.
No, I am afraid that I don't get wrapped up in those kinds of things. I'm too busy trying to figure out how to be as Christ-like as possible in all that I do and say. I'm afraid I don't have enough time to go around making mischief in other ways.
Yes.
Not that I'm a goody two-shoes, it's just that I'm limited in my mental capacity along those lines.
Oh, but the whole thing is this, you know, we don't have to go off and, you know, and do these incredible feats for our neighbor. We can just smile, you know, just smiling, looking at the person in the eyes and just smile. I've got no clue who you are, but I'm smiling to you.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
That's what it is. Greet each other down the street. I've got no clue who you are, but good morning, good afternoon.
Yes, and that's what's important, quite frankly. That's where happiness is, and that's where Christ resides, in our being loving and gentle and generous with every human being we meet. I mean, that to me is a give me. But, you know, I guess there are others who have their own way of doing things. I personally would rather be inspired to live my life in the way that I think would, you know, earn me a good job, kiddo, from his majesty.
Yes. That's what it is. The whole
and thing. We're running out of time, so can we get a little bit more into this before we have to say goodbye for the night?
Sure.
Okay, but this is very fascinating. You know, we really ranged along on the subject, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, we digress, but we always come back.
We always come back. There's always another day, another time. Okay, go ahead.
The whole thing is this, you know, within the ascension process over here, you know, it is going into that fifth dimension, the Christ consciousness. It's, you know, our bodies are being prepared right now as we're speaking. Yes, there are going to be physical symptoms, there's going to be emotional symptoms, there's going to be spiritual symptoms,
okay,
if we can identify with them. ancestors are going to come up to us.
Ancestors, like grandparents or parents or
whoever
beyond that.
Over. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, the same as other beings. You know, I don't know if you have noticed, but I'm noticing more and more of beings. You know, even my dog notices them. So we come more in contact because the veil is lifting.
Yes, I think that is precisely a good way to put it. The veil between this world and the next is being thinned or torn or rent or whatever word we choose to use. I absolutely agree that it is now becoming much more transparent.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful, wonderful gift.
It is a gift. However, this is a word of caution, too. Like attracts like. If I have fear, if I have anger, if I have rage, shame, resentment, I'm going to be attracting entities that are going to be in the same vibration as I am.
Okay, so what you're trying to say, I think, is that we are creating those we would have around us by our very thoughts.
Or also within those discarnate beings, you know, it can be on the astral level or basically lost beings. We're going to be attracting them through our negativity.
Uh-huh.
So now my goal would be to attract beings of light, because I would need to attract beings of light to help me through this journey.
Okay.
Not beings, you know, that are lost or that still have the same mindset as they had when they were here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what I want to do is, once again, you know, prepare, be a clear flow, have the light, you know, let the light from the higher power shine and through me.
Okay.
So I can attract, you know, my guides, I can track my ancestors, I can call them down, basically. That's what it is.
Okay.
And volitionally, right now, we can't do that. We can't. Because there's enough light.
We don't have enough light.
We do have enough light.
Okay.
In order to do that.
Okay. I would say I have to agree with you on that one also. This is a heavy subject, isn't it?
It is. It really is. You know, it's interesting, too, because a lot of us, you know, we are not familiar with this. You know, is this, once again, a visual hallucination, or is this true? Am I seeing, you know, a guide, or is this just a product of my imagination? There's a very fine line about that.
Okay.
So I have to, once again, as you said before, I need to trust myself. I need to believe in myself. I need to believe in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll know, and I need to know whether it's my ego that's creating this or if it's basically my spirit guide.
Okay.
There's that fine line because, you know, sometimes our minds play tricks on us and our egos play tricks on us, and then we manifest whatever we want to say. But
that's
since the veil is lifting, the guide is there, and I need to see my guide.
Okay. You know, a lot of that is also done within hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
With working with bringing guides in and working with people like this. I think hypnosis is one way to go that would be of assistance in transitioning.
Yes.
Learning to relax and learning to trust and bringing forth the subconscious, because most people have tried to tamp it down as being of the other side, the dark side, when it is not. It is part of who we are.
Yes.
And learning that you are totally responsible for who you are.
That's it.
When you ask for help, you have to trust that that's what's going to be given you. And I think, again, the trust issue is the biggest hurdle in many areas for the light. And for the coming.
Yes.
Because a lot of people think they're going crazy.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And no, we're not going crazy. We're just adjusting. That's all it is. We're just adjusting. And we're adjusting our shadow selves or true selves. But
uh-huh.
we'll come in contact with the shadow self.
Right.
And we need to name that shadow self. We need
and
to, you know, acquaint ourselves.
And
we need to be friends.
We need to love and respect ourselves. I think one of the first things that I would say is learn to love who you are.
And accept
learn
yourself.
Learn to love yourself.
Got it.
Completely and totally.
Yes.
And then respect yourself.
Yes.
Because most people have been taught not to respect or honor themselves. And that is one of the worst things that you can do is not to honor and trust and love yourself. And again, whenever we say we love ourselves, we tend to think of it as being selfish and self-centered. That's not what loving yourself is all about.
It's accepting yourself for who and what you are.
Yes.
And loving every part of it.
Yes.
Because as we love ourselves, we love others. As we respect ourselves, we respect others.
Absolutely. There's no two ways about it.
Exactly.
Oh, Christina, did you want to leave your name and number for people to call you? And they can find out more about it by talking to you directly?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
That was our ending buzz, so we better talk fast.
Okay, it's Christina Blasoni. All right, my telephone number is 201-225-4700, and my email is lunamist1024@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, my dear, so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I loved it. We'll have you on again, and I will be talking to you personally soon.
Very
okay?
good. Thank you so much, Phyllis.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
God bless you, and good night, everyone. And by the way, let me let you know that the astronaut Edgar Mitchell will be on our show being interviewed next week. He is the astronaut who walked on the moon. Thank you all, and good night, and God bless. Bye.